came out of a porcelain jar.
Uh-huh.
And she kept her, she wrote for newspapers, and she got paid by how much they ran, space rates.
Oh, well, this is in addition to editing the county paper.
Oh, yes, she owned that one.
Uh-huh.
She made me run it off the old Washington Press every Friday, and I'd run it off, and she'd give me a nickel.
Well, Liz, tell me about that. What's that, a type of
Washington Press is the type that you have to put on a big ducking apron,
uh-huh,
and get a roller and roll off the type, and then they roll off one paper, and then you roll it again, they roll off another paper.
Ducking apron, is that what you call it?
Yeah, ducking.
Uh-huh.
It's made out of ducking.
Uh-huh.
And I had to run off about 500 of them. That meant 500 times you had to take this roller, put it in the ink, and roll it over what you'd call four pages now. It's a four-page paper, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And then the man would grind off one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd roll it again, you'd grind off another, and you'd do it 500 times all after.
Gee.
And my daddy went off, and I opened a shine parlor.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the legislature, and I made Mama run an ad in the paper,
mm-hmm,
announcing the best shines in town. We had a competitor down the street, the other barbershop.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, if it's good for other people to advertise, why shouldn't I advertise?
Mm-hmm.
And so she finally, as kind of compensation for my running off the paper,
mm-hmm,
she wrote a little ad for me, put
mm-hmm
it on the front page.
Huh.
Johnson Shine Parlor, best shine in town.
Huh.
Daddy came home and got real angry about it and teased me, said that he didn't raise his boy to be a shine boy, and if he had, he didn't want to buy an advertisement to point it out.
Good. Liz said that you had hoped you could find that ad. You don't have any of those papers left, do you?
I don't know. I haven't looked for them.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether the library's got them or not.
Is there still anything else you can think of about your mother? For instance, when you got into college at San Marcos, did the family live there then?
No, but they moved there after I finished college.
Uh-huh.
They didn't live there. I lived in the garage all the time I was in college, and they didn't catch me until the fourth year. And the fourth year, the president told me that I could live in his garage. So I improvised a cot,
mm-hmm,
had no bath, I had to go to the gymnasium to bathe,
mm-hmm,
no thing like that. And I got a roommate who kept the football team, and he and I lived together. And the fourth year, the business manager caught us living in that garage and wanted to make us pay back rent, and the president wouldn't let him, but he did make us pay $5 a month for the last 6 months we were there.
How could he do that if it was the president's garage?
Well, because it belonged to the college, and he was charging other people that had places.
Uh-huh.
But then we just used our ingenuity to convert it into a bunkhouse.
Good. Two of you. I'm sorry, did you say you got the second one when you had to pay the rent? Or had you had somebody with you all along?
No, I had a roommate all along.
Uh-huh. On the matter of the college, your mother probably didn't help you with your college subjects then, did she, since she wasn't there?
Yes, oh yes, she helped me on everything. I went home every few weeks.
Uh-huh.
She helped me on everything till the day she died.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be helping me now if she's here. And she'd be telling me what not to say in some of these speeches. And my wife does too, on everything.
Oh, that's another thing you said I wish you'd go over. You said that your mother could always do everything that anybody else couldn't do in the house, and that Lady Bird did too. You kind of remember that?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Bird can still write the best speech of anybody in the family.
Mm.
And her judgment's better on reading something and giving an analysis. She can always tell you what she didn't like about the speech at the armory the other night.
Oh, dear.
The last third was much better than the first third.
Oh.
You go too fast or you go too slow. She's always got the most discerning observations.
Uh-huh. You said once to me that day that your woman was...
She's always raised hell about women, and I don't believe you women pay much attention to her, but she's done more for our women. I believe that she's got... As a result of her persistence and what we've done, I believe there are over 300 or 400 women that make over 10,000 a year that have been advanced some way or other in the last 30 days.
Well, let me all approach that from that angle, and I sure hadn't. I certainly didn't.
You see, we don't reach out. We don't just reach out and get a new woman. We take a woman that may work faithfully as a char cleaner,
yeah,
or as a typist or a secretary. I'm looking for one now to point on the bench.
Mm-hmm. Good.
I'm looking for one to make a banker out of. Mm. But it may be one that's working over in Treasury somewhere.
Uh-huh. You said that your mother was the strongest woman I ever knew. I remember that. What specifically points to that? Now, you've told me a lot of things about how she took
it. Oh, she'd see your leg broken in two, or she'd see your face cut open, and she'd look at it and never cry. She just didn't believe in self-pity, and she didn't believe in being a martyr. And she could just take it. She was absolutely selfless. The only thing, she was a little bit too selfish as far as her children are concerned. She put them ahead of anything, mm-hmm, her own life, even her own husband.
Did she get all of you through college?
Yes.
Do I have a correct memory that when you said when she finally talked to you into going to college, did she sit down and write the letter and sign your father's
name?
Name,
yes. Uh-huh. Asking for a job.
Asking for a job to you, and you got one as what?
As a cleaner, as a rock picker, picking with a shovel, shoveling rocks out on the campus. Hardest job anybody can have. Rocky campus, and they were digging the rocks out of the campus so they could build a road and trail.
Golly, how long did you do that one?
Oh, about 2 months.
Hmm.
20 cents an hour.
Golly. Well, now, do I remember then that the road job, switching a little bit, but that was a dollar a day for 2 years. Did
yes,
you tell me that?
That's right.
Daylight
till dark.
Wow. Does that road, it's the road from Austin to Frederick, does it have a name, actually?
280. No, it's not 280. I've forgotten what the number is. It's got a number.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the road now that Highway 1 leads off to, and 1 is the one that runs in front of the range. It's now called Highway 1.
Now Highway 1 that runs in front of the ranch, although this is some distance, about 10 miles away from it, as I understand.
Well, this begins Austin to Fredericksburg, may be named. Y'all remember the highway? No, I don't remember that.
All right.
But anyway, number one runs right in front of the ranch house.
Mm-hmm.
And they've renamed it since I was president.
What is it now?
Number one.
Oh, I'm sorry. They made it number one, yeah. President, in Mooney's book, he says that your mother actually taught you the alphabet at age two from blocks, and taught you to recite nursery rhymes at three, and Tennyson and Lowell, and then had you reading by four, and in kindergarten at five. Is that right?
Kindergarten
at four.
Yeah, I went and sat in the teacher's lap while she taught all the rest of them.
Good.
I finished 11th grade and graduated 15.
Golly. Haven't stopped running since, have you? Now, you said that on the matter of her being a cultural force in the community, that she ran all the plays, and you said that she that she made a little pocket money by selling things to other papers. What
she
kind of
thing? She was Johnson City correspondent for the Dallas News, San Antonio Express, and Austin American, all the papers, and went. Some wreck could happen there, she'd have to write the story about it.
So this wasn't just social notes all over, it was accidents and things like this.
Oh, it was a news reporter just like you are.
Just like me, yeah.
If Jim Ferguson, the governor, came there to make a speech, she'd cover it and write it.
Golly.
Even though they had people there that were traveling with him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you said that things were kind of rough a lot of the time while you were growing up during the Depression. Do you have any memories of things that she did to sort of make do, like making over clothes or anything like that?
Oh, she handed down, took all of our clothes, made them, did all of the sewing. She and my grandmother for the rest of the children. Rebecca'd get dressed, Lucia, baby'd wind up wearing it. And I would take my father's discarded shirts after I got older. I remember that she wrote a cousin and borrowed $25 for us to eat off of it. In the late 20s.
Oh, that reminds me. How much did she borrow for you to go to college?
She didn't borrow it. I borrowed it from a local banker, $75. She sent me over there, and he was an old friend of hers.
Going back then to the other thing, you said that she would make something for the oldest child, who was Rebecca, was that it?
Yeah.
And then the baby would eventually wind up wearing it. And she would cut down your father's shirts for you.
Yeah. And suits. My suits for my younger brother. You better get through now, because I got to go. They told me you had two questions.
Well, I'm overextending myself,
damn,
and I'm
Liz,
sorry.
This Liz is a fraud. You women are frauds, y'all.
Listen, I want to tell you something. Liz said you told her you wouldn't tell her other names because she leaked them. She didn't leak those names. I know who did, if you ever care, but I don't want to spend time on that now.
What other names?
The names that came out ahead of time on the women, Liz didn't leak those. Shackleton came out ahead of time, and that woman's bureau had.
Well, she didn't. You notice they didn't get it either, don't you?
I know they didn't, and I know why they didn't, and I agree with that. But I'm telling you, Liz isn't responsible for it, because I know who was. There are two different people.
Well, who was?
Well, let me tell you some other time.
Well, now, come on, tell me. Now, I've told you everything I know, and I won't say a word about it. Nobody will ever know it but me.
Reiner leaked the first one.
That the Shackleton was going to be?
That's right.
Well, how do you know who it's going to be?
I don't know, but he did. The second one I'm about 90% sure of and not 100%, so I don't want to tell you.
Well,
but I know it wasn't Liz. Really do. If I find out 100%, I'll tell you.
Tell me the 90. Who you suspect? Tell me, and I won't
doubt it. I can't. I just can't.
Oh,
well,
all right. If I told you that, you wouldn't have much information.
Mr. President,
I can't
do that.
All
right. Look, I can't
all
knock
right.
somebody with the president.
You're not knocking
yes,
anybody.
Yes, I am. If I'm wrong, it's terrible. The other one I know.
I don't mind. I pointed to Briner.
I know you did, but that's different. This other one, I'm not absolutely sure I'm right, and I just can't do this.
And what is the other one about? What subject? I've forgotten.
The Women's Bureau head. That woman that they got Sarah on the hill because the thing hadn't been cleared. But it wasn't Liz. I'm sure of that.
All right. Okay. Well, quickly.
well, we didn't do it. Neither of us. I didn't even know it.
Has the Star got another mean editorial about me today?
I don't know. I'm not even.
Jack Valenti's was just reading it, and I was just asking him.
Well, I don't think he has. Now, look, can you tell me anything else about your mother being strong, and then I'll let you go as a strong figure?
No, but I hope you write a nice one about Ms. Reedy, because she's a strong figure. She's been raising two of the most brilliant boys I ever knew, and she's been working like a dog all these years. George has too, and neither one of them wanted anything, and that he's the most modest, self-effacing, most knowledgeable man on the hill. And when he came down here, he didn't hesitate to go to the second table and go over to another office and over to the EOB, and he just waited until the pair left, and he wanted to recommend somebody else for the job.
Did he really?
Yes, sir, and that's not many people like that, but that's the kind of people they are, and you all ought to realize it.
Listen, I can't help it what they write. I don't do things like that. Look,
well, you writing a story on her, you told me.
Well, on her, yeah. I got it done.
Well,
it's in now. But that's,
all right.
Mr. President, would you like to see this magazine piece before it goes up?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
So I want to thank you very much. Bye.